makes his weekly visit with us, the quarterback, Bernie Kosar. And, Bernie, it has been a fascinating kind of, weekend, but now a couple of days, with regard to the Browns coaching search still ongoing. And I know you got a lot of thoughts because you know very well a lot of the names that are involved in this process, some even better than others. But let's talk about kind of the latest that have been reported. Again, the team's not putting anything out there or confirming one way or the other who they're talking to. And I know even though we see names that are reported, there are conversations I'm strongly believing that are going on with people that haven't been made public. But let's talk about some of the ones that are up there. And most recently, we've heard about a guy I know you know very well, Mark Trestman, going back with him all the way to your days at the University of Miami. And then he, as a quarterback's coach, he was a quarterback's coach here with the Browns with you, 88, 89, when you guys went to the AFC Championship game. He's got a lot of credentials and a multiple Grey Cup winner in his current gig as head coach of the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, it's I guess a sign of our age that, one, you know so many of the people, and two, so many of the things he's accomplished. I mean, the last time the Raiders were relevant, he took a 40-year-old Rich Gannon, a 41-year-old Jerry Rice, a 39-year-old Tim Brown, took them to the Super Bowl, I think against Tampa, in like the 2000 range. Jake Plummer, the only time he won a playoff game, he took him to Dallas, and they, as offensive coordinator, they beat the Cowboys. Coach Steve Young, obviously myself, Vinny Testaverde, been with Bill Walsh, with Bud Grant. He's got a lot of experience. You know, he's the guy who philosophically and fundamentally, how I approached the game and I learned the game came from Mark sitting down with me as a redshirt freshman in 1982 down in Miami. And it's interesting, and respect to Mark and respect to Don Shula, Bear Bryant, and Coach Schnellenberger, who that was their kind of offense. And it's interesting today that the stuff that those guys ran and Coach Trestman taught me, the fundamentals of the game almost three decades ago, still stand up and are predominant in our game today.
You know, one of the things, and you and I talk a lot of football, not only on the air, but off the air and between these appearances, we discuss a lot of things about this game, and I love when you get into the total, you get immersed in the whole concept of how offensive football, how the passing game evolves. And one of the things I remember you talking about with Mark Trestman is being such a stickler, and I know, because I know you are too, about route running, and that if you had to define it, and it's interesting because of all the things you could tell me about him in the way he coached you technically from the time you were a collegiate quarterback through your pro career, the first thing you zeroed in on is how he coaches or what he stresses with wide receivers and their route running. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's to me, it's such a beautiful thing, and it's I find it somewhat interesting in the dichotomy maybe of my life where that's such attention, the detail of route running, of being a receiver, how he Mark Trestman, the Bill Belichick's, the Nick Sabans, Coach Trestman, myself, get so immersed in how there's a specific fundamental way you must do it, yet in our own personal lives we won't pay attention to our bank account or our money or anything else that's going on. But my God, if a receiver isn't pressing the outside technique and outside hip of the defensive back, right, if he's trying to get upfield and not trying to turn his hips and getting into his feet as he's trying to fake like he's making a deep run and break out on a comeback, his life is not going to be very fun that day, that receiver, because the way we want to coach routes and the attention, the detail, it's so imperatively important, at least in my mind, to be successful at any level of football, but especially this level. And I actually think, and no disrespect to anybody else or any other systems or coaches, but I think sometimes in the NFL, with the great athleticism that we see, sometimes in a long season especially, you don't get some coaches who are real sticklers for the discipline of your techniques, of your assignments, and how to be fundamentally sound and run routes or block or be a quarterback, and how fluid your five-step drop is, and you're throwing the skinny post on five without a hitch with your trunk and everything underneath you. So you do that time after time in January, February, March, April, May, June, take a little time off in July. Then you hit training camp, and you're going to do a time in and time out where muscle memory, it becomes second nature to you.
Bernie Kosar in the house, as he regularly is on this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, and again, we bring these up because, again, this is what's been reported, talked about. Bruce Arians' name is mentioned as someone that the Browns are interested, or were planning to, or are planning to talk with the offensive coordinator, although he spent most of this past season as the interim head coach of the Indianapolis Colts while Chuck Pagano was battling leukemia. And Arians himself misses the playoff game, the wild card game, this against Baltimore on Sunday because he's hospitalized. He had been dealing with a severe case of the flu, and I guess, you know, from all indications, he's recovered from that and now healthy and ready, I think, to go about the process of pursuing a head coaching job, something he really wants. In reference to Arians and in reference to Trestman, and maybe as opposed to the first hot name that this team was all over this past weekend, Chip Kelly from Oregon, you know, the type of guy who would come in here, especially with these offensive backgrounds, it's gonna have a tremendous impact on the future, you would think, of Brandon Whedon. Because, number one, if you think about the whole Chip Kelly, that whole speedy read option type of offense that has the quarterback moving quite a bit, that's not his cup of tea physically. And I don't think you don't have to know football that well to figure that out. But someone else like a Trestman, maybe an Arians too, when you think about the success he had with an Andrew Luck, who I know is pretty athletic, but mostly the big in the pocket kind of guy that I think that we see Whedon to be, there's a different dynamic. Brandon Whedon's future as a Brown maybe gets impacted tremendously depending on who gets hired here.
Well, absolutely correct. And let's first say that Coach Arians and the job he did under the circumstances in Indianapolis this past year was fantastic. And I actually tweeted before the game, but that team overcame so much and during the year. And to come from the worst team in the league with the first pick to get a rookie quarterback, albeit a future superstar and probably a current superstar,
right,
and make that leap into the playoffs was phenomenal. But it had so much emotion. And then for Bruce, to Coach Arians, to be sick and actually missed a game, and Clyde Christensen had to call the plays. That was absolutely too much for them to overcome, and Baltimore, you know, really put it to them in the game.
Right.
But you're exactly right as it pertains, and this is true probably of any probably quarterback, but yeah, the Chip Kelly system, even though Brandon said, hey, he could run that system, that's absolutely taking him in the wrong direction of, I think, what he's best suited to do. And yeah, maybe he can get away with some of that stuff, but dropping back and throwing the deep balls, the skinny post, the comebacks, the square end, the 20-yard square ends, teams are doing that now, the deep over routes. A lot of teams are doing it. A lot of teams are having success with it. And that goes back to, again, stuff I was taught in the early 80s by some phenomenal legendary coaches, that you must threaten the field deep. You must go deep. And the rules, even more so three decades later, are set up even more for that. And with Brandon Wheaton's arm and some of the things that I think he's capable of doing, and some of the things we have with young, big 6'3 receivers, 220, 225 running, 4.45s running, 4.5 40s. I think they're really set up to take advantage and do those type of things. And the type of coach, like a Bruce Arians, who's a vertical throwing guy, like a Mark Trestman, who believes in 2 to 3 times a quarter throwing a deep ball. That ends up being 12 to 15 times a game. And that type of mentality, I think, is with a good, strong line and running game and with Trent Richardson, we're pretty much set up to teach our young guys how to evolve into stuff like that.
And that's really what's needed for the next step in Brandon Weeden's career, I think, is to have much more of that attention to detail to the technical part of his game. I think and this is not casting any aspersions on the coaches that he had as a rookie, but you would look at pretty much how this team operated, and it was a lot of good play calling ideas and concepts, and I think you've got to do both. You've got to call good plays to take advantage of what your opponent's strengths and weaknesses are, but you also can't forget, and I'm not saying that's even happened, but it's probably easier to spend a little less time on the mechanical part of developing a quarterback than it is to, in that limited week that you get, to look at tape and look at the defense and say, we can beat that, we can exploit this, we can go after that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know this is only an hour show, and I don't get the whole hour, and I know we got to do commercials.
I'll give you another segment, though, but go ahead.
I could talk for hours on that point and that question, and you're exactly right. It's not to cast dispersions on any other staff or any other systems or any other way of doing things, because different people have had different successes doing it different ways. But something that CORE has stood up over time throughout football, and I still believe today, is predominantly to be successful and will continue to be, is not, guys tend to, I don't want to oversimplify this, but to your point, go into two categories. They come up with plays, and you're going to run plays, and we're going to beat defenses. And there's another group, which I fall into, of let's coach up the ways to do certain things. Let's find out what you do good, and we're going to find guys actually who want to go deep, who could throw it deep, who understand how to do those principles and teach them good, sound technique, whether it's the tight end running routes, the receiver running routes, the back and his exact steps, down to the exact step, and specifically to the quarterback, how his sense of timing, how his sense of mechanics is, and you teach him, like we said earlier in the show, January, February, March, April, May, June, take some time off in July, then training camp, and you're throwing the seams, you're throwing against cover two fades, you're throwing comebacks versus press coverage, you're practicing the fade stop throw, you're throwing post patterns, skinny posts at a five-step drop, you're throwing bombs off of working the technique and getting the DB's hips turned, and when his hips are turned, you get into his feet, and then you burst by him, and you throw that time and time again, and then you say to your guys and to the other defenses when you play, this is what we do, and you can't stop me, because I believe in it, I believe in the receivers, I've done it so much, that you make them stop you, as opposed to coming up with plays to kind of trick them and beat defenses. You know, right. You work on stuff and you do what you do best, and you make other teams beat you with things you can do.
You're right. We could have done the whole hour and maybe more on that, but I'll tell you what we will do, because that's fantastic breakdown, and we love it and we appreciate it. I do want you back for another segment, because we're going to talk about the tight ends and their performance in 2012. I thought one of the interesting positions to look back on, and we'll have you come back to do that. He is Bernie Kosar, the legendary one, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.